rather fascinating word in the New Testament is a term that is sometimes translated worthy. If you will remember from Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John said that he was not worthy of carrying the Lord's shoes. Another account of this statement is in Luke 3, verse 16. Luke goes a step further and says that he was not worthy of untying the Lord's shoes. John also picks up in this thought in John 1:27, but he uses a different word, the word that we want to study today, and a word which is also translated worthy. As we look at our lives and the lives of others, we sometimes find times when the word worthy is used and when we sing. Sometimes our songs actually use this same word. Well, what does the word worthy mean? It would appear that it is at least somewhat important to God because it's used at different times in the Bible, especially in the Gospels. Well, synonyms for the word worthy would be adequate, or we might say worthy means sufficient, or maybe even deserving. As noted a moment ago, we want to pay special attention to the term that's used in John 1:27, and we're going to do kind of a brief survey of this word. It first occurs in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, and we're going to move forward or backward, depending on how you look at the New Testament from there. John was preaching, and he must have been the talk of the town because of not only what he was saying, as far as preaching, but his dress as well. Lots and lots of people were coming to see John and be baptized of him. As time passed, eventually Matthew 3 tells us that the Pharisees showed up to be baptized, and the Sadducees also came along to be immersed. These groups were rebuked by John. John said that they needed to be repent, and his exact words are found in Matthew 3, verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruit worthy of repentance. John said there are fruits or there are deeds that are worthy of repentance. It's not enough that we simply repent. But John says that repentance is something that can be demonstrated. It's something that we can look at and see somehow. Our works, our life, somehow demonstrate whether or not we and others truly repent. Think, for example, of a man who is stopped as he's going down the road by a police officer. The police officer pulls him over for speeding. And hopefully you've not had the circumstance, but you probably know somebody who has. As that driver has been stopped for the potential ticket, the driver probably says how sorry he is. He may say to the officer, I understand that this is dangerous. I understand that I broke the law. I understand that this is not good. And I promise that I will not do this ever again. So he pulls out. The officer lets him off with a warning. And he pulls out so slowly. But you know what happens after he gets 2 miles down the road and over the next hill? Down goes the foot on the gas pedal. And he's doing it again. Well, he is not bringing forth the fruits worthy of repentance. He's going back to the same old way. He's not demonstrated any kind of real change. And that's what John is talking about in Matthew 3, verse 8. Repentance should somehow be visible or at least potentially demonstrable should that need arise. Now, that's a difficult concept to grasp. We have some additional material that may help us that's also found in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 10. In this particular chapter, Jesus said that a worker is worthy of his pay. And that's the same word that's used in Matthew 3, 8 and John 1, verse 27. Suppose, for example, that we have a job that promises a weekly paycheck. But when the week is over and it's payday time, the check doesn't come. In fact, we're never paid for the work that we did. Would we be satisfied or would we be dissatisfied at the lack of payment? Well, of course, nobody would be pleased about working and not getting paid for it. Employees understand that if they work, if they do what they have been contracted or engaged to do, then they are worthy of being paid. And that, of course, has really the same sense as in Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. We engage in actions. Our behavior is worthy or consistent with our repentance. The word that we're looking at is found several times in Matthew 10. It occurs not only in Matthew 10:10, but also in Matthew 10, verse 11. Verse 11 is quite practical when we think about the word worthy. Jesus said, "And into whatsoever city or village ye shall enter, search out who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go forth." Now, if you look at the context of Matthew 10, you find that it involves a limited commission. Two by two, the Jewish people, or rather the disciples that Jesus selected, were to go and spread the good news among the Jews. Sometimes in our day and time, there are people who think that they are not good enough, people who think that they are not worthy enough either to become a Christian or to learn about God or maybe to have the Lord's Supper. Well, Jesus did not say in Matthew 10, as you go out on this limited commission, you search out the people who are good enough. Jesus did not tell the apostles, you should go out and you preach, you go find the perfect people, or you go find the righteous people and you teach them. But Jesus in Matthew 10 told the apostles that they needed to find out the people who were worthy and stay in the houses that were worthy. Well, now, who are the worthy people? Where were these worthy folks at? If we had no additional information, we might have to make some guesses. But we do have some additional information. Notice from this same chapter, Matthew 10, what's said in verse 14. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words as you go forth out of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. A worthy person, Matthew 10, verses 10 and 11, is someone who has a good heart. Someone who is willing to listen and obey the gospel. A worthy person is someone who has a conscience that is tender and pliable. Later in this chapter, Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, we have this same word being used. He that loveth father or mother more than me, Jesus said, is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Having the right type of heart means that we have the right type of priorities. I have seen Bible studies end or terminate because of the very items Jesus described in this chapter. Here was a person who was interested, at least on some level, and on some level thus worthy, but their love for God was not the highest priority. We cannot be worthy in the sense that we're discussing it unless we're willing to listen, willing to repent, and willing to put God first in the life. Now, telling someone you're not worthy is a pretty harsh statement to make, but this is God's message to people. There are folks, individuals, who are unworthy of God and unworthy of his blessings because of their response to the information from heaven. If people will not hear and if they will not heed the word of God, Jesus said that they are unworthy because of their actions. A verse that goes right along with Matthew 10:37 is the next one. And he that doth not take his cross and follow after me, Jesus said, that person is not worthy of me. Taking up the cross of Christ summarizes all the verses that we have given thus far. If we take up Jesus' cross, then we're going to live as Jesus lived. That is, we're going to repent. We're going to live a life that conforms to his life. Taking up the cross of Christ means that we're going to love God supremely. Matthew 10, verse 37. And want to know all we can about the God of heaven. All have the potential to be worthy, and we know that because of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22. This is the next passage that I'm going to be reading from, and the story starts in verse 2. Matthew 22:2 says that there was a king who arranged a wedding for a son. Everything was ready, verse 4. And because everything was ready, all kinds of people were invited. In spite of the great opportunity, Jesus said in this story, verse 5, that lots of people spurned the invitation. There was a man who said, I have a farm, and I need to tend to that. There was another man who said, I have some merchandise, and I need to look at it. And then there were some people, verse 6, who as the messengers went out and invited the people to come, they actually beat the messengers. When God invites people to be part of his kingdom or his church, and people say no, they are not worthy because they have spurned the invitation. And once a person makes that choice, if that decision is made, here is the consequence in verse 13. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the utter darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. The potential is there for anyone to make themselves worthy or unworthy, and most make the unworthy choice. Think also about the next couple of books. We have this information in Mark, but we also have it in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. There Jesus talked about the people who are worthy, same word in the original text, worthy of stripes. God, based on that single passage, says that in his eyes there are people who are worthy of eternal punishment. Imagine standing before God. Imagine the shock that we would have in our lives if God said to us, you are worthy of death. You are worthy of punishment. You deserve to spend eternity without me. You deserve, you're worthy of the devil and his angels forever and ever. Be off with you. You are sentenced to eternal banishment. You will never see my presence again. Well, that's essentially what's going to happen to people who are not in a right relationship with God. Now, in life, most people, if they give a little thought to their circumstances, assuming that they're a wrongdoer, finally figure out that they deserve punishment. But not only in life do we have an example of this in modern times, but also in biblical times. We all remember that Jesus was crucified between two thieves. His death was something that we remembered just a little bit ago. According to Luke 23, verse 41, there was one of the thieves on the cross who made a very important statement. If you look at that passage, Luke 23:41, your Bible translation probably uses the word justly. this man and his counterpart were on the cross justly. Well, when he uses that word, that's the same term that we've been looking at in all these passages. It's the word that's translated worthy in John 1, verse 27. So as that man was on the cross, as that criminal was suffering, he said to his counterpart, we deserve. We are worthy of being crucified. This is justice. This is fair treatment. This is what should be happening to us. Now, not many people that I see today on death row make that statement. When was the last time you saw someone who was going to be put to death and they said, I am worthy of the death penalty? Not too many people make that statement. But at least in this case, Luke chapter 23, there was a man who took personal responsibility for his crime or crimes. Surely when people stand before Christ on the day of judgment, they will admit that same thing. That yes, God, we are worthy of eternal destruction. We are worthy of being separated from your presence. Now, they're not going to like that conclusion. They're not going to jump up and down with joy because that thrills them, but the truth of that will be evident to them and evident to all. Well, leaving the Gospels, we next want to turn to what book we have after John, and that, of course, is the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, verse 46. In Acts 13, we have one of many examples that Luke describes. The inspired apostles were preaching. There were some people present who did not care for the message. And in this particular instance, the opposition to the gospel was very strong. In Acts 13:46, Paul and Barnabas, who of course was not an apostle in the sense of one of the 12, waxed bold. And what these men said is interesting. Again, Acts 13, verse 46. And Paul and Barnabas speak out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, seeing that ye thrust it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, this is the same word. In Matthew chapter 22, a text we cited a little bit ago, God, we see, will tell people at some point in time that they were unworthy of eternal life. God makes that choice not because it's an arbitrary choice, not because God says to one half of the world, you're worthy, and the other half, he says, you're not worthy. But as we see from Acts chapter 13, we find that people judge themselves by their decisions, by their rejection of the gospel, judge themselves unworthy of eternal life. When God talks about a person making this kind of choice, he is not kidding. And we know that because of a passage which comes from the next Bible book, the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 32. Now, if you think about how Romans begins, you know probably that it has a lot of information about sin. Paul enumerates about 32 different sins, and he pretty well just covers the full gamut. He also talks about God's judgment in the sense of the final judgment. Paul, in that 32nd verse, refers to people who knew about God's word, his will, but they refused to follow it. That final verse, Romans 1, who knowing the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. If we reject God in one way or another, the rejection really doesn't matter, we are worthy of death. Our culture has come to the conclusion that certain crimes are worse than other crimes. There are misdemeanors, and we also find in our judicial system that there are felonies or there are capital crimes. Refusing to embrace God, refusing to accept God, is a capital crime. Romans 1, verse 32. It is so serious, it deserves the worst sentence that will ever be passed down to mankind. This sentence will be pronounced, it will be executed at the scheduled time, if we do not bring forth the fruits worthy of repentance, Matthew 3, verse 8. Now, there's some people that we meet in life, sometimes some good people who say, well, the Christian life is just too hard, or it is too inconvenient for me, or I do not have enough time, I just can't make it work with my schedule. Well, there's an interesting passage which deals with that kind of thought process, and it also uses the word worthy. This is also found in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Paul deals with all these kinds of objections in this part of his letter. He talks about some of the sufferings. Paul lived a very difficult life. He suffered in ways that are really unimaginable for most of us. Paul was a man who had seen both sides of life. He had seen what it means to be a Christian. He'd had a chance to give a full evaluation of the Christian life, and he'd also seen what it was like to endure the other things. He knew what suffering would be like in eternity for the unsaved. And as he looked at both kinds of choices, this is what he said in the 18th verse of Romans 8. For I reckon an accounting term. He said, I've basically added up both columns, being a righteous man and being unsaved. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to usward. When people say to us, when a person thinks that Christianity, for whatever reason, is just not worth it, that's not going to be my choice. This is the text. This is the premium or premier text to turn to. Paul concluded, based upon a careful evaluation, that there is no comparison whatsoever between the problems of this life and heaven. He said that it's just not worthy to compare one to the other. Because of what eternity offers and what God has done, we must put heaven first. If we've not become a Christian, then that's the right choice to make. If we have become a Christian, then this is our obligation. If that's not the choice that we make, then heaven promises punishment that will be eternal or everlasting. Well, there is a sense in all of us, of course, in which we are not worthy. We're not going to be worthy because we're all people who've sinned. We cannot have a standard of personal goodness. Neither can we do enough good deeds to be classified as worthy or righteous or saved or something else in the sight of God. Well, how then can the Bible use this idea of worthy? Well, first of all, it uses the sense of worthy in that we are willing to receive God's word. We're also worthy in a second sense. Paul said that he was worthy, but he was worthy through Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. So it's not personal worthiness, it's not personal goodness or personal works, but it is worthiness through being obedient to the Lord and through that redemptive blood. Righteousness through Christ means that we can be declared worthy. I want to flip back quite a few books, going from the book of Romans to the last book of the Bible to Revelation, pulling two passages from this book, the first from Revelation chapter 3, and then the next, the final, will be from Revelation chapter 16. In Revelation 3, verse 4, we have an interesting statement about the word elsewhere translated worthy. Revelation 3, 4. But thou hast a few names in Sardis that did not defile their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. For, notice this, they are worthy. Can we be worthy? Yes, we can. How can we be worthy? Not because of our own personal goodness, but we can be worthy through Christ. And again, that's the point that we have here. I believe it's Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, which talks about being loosed from our sins through the blood of Christ. We'll just tie that in real quick. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings from the earth, unto him that loveth us and loosed us from our sins by his blood. Well, that's exactly how it works. And when that occurs, we are declared righteous, or we're justified, we're sanctified. All those terms that we see elsewhere, we can now say, or we can now add to the list, that we are worthy as well. All right, that's one possible choice. But there is a second possibility. And again, the word that we're looking at occurs in Revelation chapter 16. The exact verse is Revelation 16, verse 6. This is, if you study the passage, a fairly gory text. It is a passage which says that people who destroyed God's people or injured the righteous were going to pay and pay dearly. For they, and that of course refers to unrighteous people, poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and blood hast thou given them to drink. They are worthy. Here were people who destroyed God's people, and God, as he looked at those destroyers of the saved, as he looked at the people who injured those of God, he said, you are worthy of drinking blood. Now, that's not a very attractive picture, but the thought is you are worthy of destruction, you are worthy of punishment, you are worthy of eternal separation from God. In Revelation 3 and Revelation chapter 16, the word worthy really shows what we find elsewhere in Scripture. Jesus once said there are two ways. There is a broad way that leads to destruction, and there is a narrow way that leads to life. Well, that same picture is now presented by using the word worthy. We can take the road which makes us worthy through Christ, that road which says that we're willing to show the fruits of our repentance, Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, that road which leads us to eternal life. Or we can take that second road where we somehow reject the gospel of God and God says, depart from me. You're not one of mine. You are unworthy in every single sense. I don't know about you, but that second option is not real attractive to me. But God says to each single person, we can take that first option. We can go through that narrow road. We can take Jesus, the way that is the truth and the life, the way that is not always easy, but the way that leads to eternal salvation. This morning, if in the past you have judged yourself unworthy of eternal life because you've spurned the gospel of Christ, as long as there's life in your body, you still have a chance to embrace what's right and to obey the conditions of the gospel. You can do that this morning. If you believe in Christ, you're willing to repent, to show forth the fruits of repentance, Matthew 3, verse 8, to show that your life has been changed by your new works, by your new way of life. You can acknowledge that Christ is the Lord, to be baptized into a spiritual body, the church, for the forgiveness of your sins, and he'll add you to that spiritual body and loose you from your sins, Revelation 1:5, through his blood. We hope that you've made that choice, or if you're thinking about that choice, that you'll let us study that matter in more detail with you. If you have made that decision and you've turned your back on God, and again, as you look at your life, say, I'm not worthy in the sight of God. I know that I've left him. I know that I've spurned the right way. And this morning, I want to make that right. We'd also like to offer that assistance as we stand and sing the selected song. Why do you...